Praise the Lord. Choir, God bless you. Please, let's be seated. God bless you, choir. Please be seated. I pray that the Almighty God will accept our gratitude in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we will consider the word of God that I titled, Having a Grateful Heart for His Mighty Acts. Having a grateful heart for His mighty acts. Father, we thank you for your mighty acts in our lives. Almighty God, as we go into your word, we pray that you will speak to us in Jesus' name. We ask Almighty God that you will open the windows of heaven and let utterances flow in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, that you will prepare our hearts to be fertile grounds for your word in Jesus' name. And so, Krima Sapra Mushte de Gebo. Father, we pray that everyone who does not see a reason to thank you today, Father, by the end of this service, Father, let there be a reason for them to appreciate you in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray that they will be remembered where it matters for them in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, because you have answered our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. So having a grateful heart for his mighty acts. Brethren, it's not a secret that the Almighty God has been with us on this journey of life. It's not a secret that the Almighty God has helped us. Has helped you as a person, has helped me, has helped us as a church, has helped your family in one way or the other. But it is natural for man, you know, to see, like they used to say, that sometimes people see a cup as half empty rather than to see it as half full. And that's very common, even among us as believers, that we see what is left and we don't see what we already have. We see that the cup is yet to be filled up, but we don't see that there is still something. There's already something in that cup. And that is what God wants us to be. That's who God wants us to be. God wants us to see that there is something in that cup already. He wants us to see that he has at least done something for us. He wants us to appreciate the one that he has done for us so that he can do more for us. The Bible says, let's open to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We are going to be reading a couple of scriptures because we are going to look at the example of the children of Israel. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Word and sound, if you can get some of the scriptures up for us, please do so that I don't want to take much of our time today. I need us to spend some time also to pray as we continue in this message. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, okay. Let's go to verse 5. Verse 5. The Bible says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. You know, if we read from verse 1, and then if you continue that passage, the Bible was talking about so many mighty acts that God did for the children of Israel. So many things that he did for them, that we are going to go through some of them, not all of them. But God did a lot of things for them. They were in captivity in Egypt, and God delivered them. Delivered them by signs and wonders. Delivered them by plagues that, you know, that were never heard before, that were never seen before. And so many things when they were passing through the wilderness. But through the wilderness, they still did not appreciate God. They still murmured. They still complained. All too soon, they had a reason to look back. They had a reason, you know, to question God, to question why God took them out of bondage. They had a reason to think that their yesterday was better than their today. They had a reason to believe that their yesterday or their today was better than their tomorrow. And sometimes we find ourselves in such situations. But the Bible says, let's remember, the Bible says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. They were overthrown in the wilderness. They died in the wilderness despite the mighty acts of God because they did not give glory to God, because they did not appreciate what God did for them, because they did not appreciate what God had in store for them, because they were distracted by the pressures, by the challenges of their present days. They murmured. They complained. They displeased God. And the Bible says they were overthrown. They died in the wilderness. My prayer this morning is that none of us will die in our wilderness in Jesus' name. Because there is a place, the Bible says, because of the glory that was set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the cross. He endured the cross. Despite the shame of the cross, because Jesus Christ knew the glory set ahead of him. I don't know whether you know that there's a glory ahead of you, but I want to assure you today, there is a glory that is ahead of you. There is a glory that is in your tomorrow. And that's why you need to thank the God that has preserved your life till today. And because you are still here today, that is an assurance that you will enter into your glory of tomorrow in Jesus' name. We have learned and we have prayed, we have sung the song of the glory of God today. But brethren, the glory of God needs us to appreciate what God has done already. And then he will unleash the remaining glory. He will unleash the glory that eyes have not seen before. He will unleash the glory that is loaded in our cloud that is in heaven. As this morning, I want to encourage your heart. Let us not be like these people. The Bible says they died in the wilderness. These were people who were in captivity, who suffered in the hands of the taskmasters. And these were people who went through the wilderness and experienced mighty acts of God. Now, some of us have experienced, some of us have great testimonies. Some of us have experienced God's divine intervention. You know, God, some of us have seen the hands of God raw, you know, in our situations, in our circumstances. Or some of us have seen those, you know, the hands of God around us. But we still don't know, we still don't appreciate the fact that God is working something out for us. The fact that even though it may be tight, even though it may be tough now, even though we may not see it happening today, it does not mean that it will not happen. It is not over with us. Even though it appears as if, oh, we have spent how many months now? We have spent 10 months of the year. We have just, you know, 1.5 months to go. Are the God that did not do it in 10.5 months? Is it possible to, you know, for it to happen in 1.5 months? But God is not like that. He is not like that. You know, like they used to say that the sun that is up there is enough to dry the cloth. That's the way God works. He is not, the Bible says a day with him is like 1,000 years. It is nothing with God to move, both by many nor by few. Whether by so many days or by few days, it does not matter when it comes to God. Because with him, he is timeless. He is timeless. Some of us are here, we are seated, we are just a phone call away from our breakthrough. But we need to appreciate God for today. We are just an email away from our breakthrough. But we need to appreciate God for today. So maybe we have prayed this morning. Whatever is blocking the door of our breakthrough, let it be open. But maybe we are the one. Maybe we are not appreciating God. And we are the ones that are actually blocking the way of the breakthrough. Because we don't appreciate God. We don't appreciate God. The children of Israel died in the wilderness. And the people that were not there when they suffered, they were the ones that entered the promised land. Their children's children that were not there when they suffered. They were the ones that entered the promised land. They were the ones. My prayer this morning is that we have labored. Some of us have labored. Some of us we have battled all our lifetime. But my prayer is that whatever we have labored for, that God will preserve our lives to enter into that promise in Jesus' name. That whatever we have put together is not somebody who is going to come tomorrow who will eat the fruit of our labor in Jesus' name. But we need to have a heart of gratitude to the Almighty God. Let's quickly look at a few things that God did to the children of Israel. And we are going to pray. We are going to use some of those things to pray to the Almighty God. You know, perhaps we have not witnessed his hands in one way or the other, you know, this year. We are going to spend some time to pray. You can sit down and pray. When I, you know, bring up such prayer points, if you want to sit down, if you think, well, my own case, I need to really stand up and tell God. Somebody was, you know, called the K-Love yesterday night and was asking them to teach her how to pray. That she was born by a pastor, but she didn't know how to pray. And they asked her, it was, you know, a life program. And they asked her, do you have friends? She said, yeah, she has friends. They said, okay, do you talk to your friends? Yeah, she talks to her friends. Okay, if you know how to talk to your friend, then talk to God like that. That's prayer. That's prayer. So maybe you just want to tell God. Just tell God the way it is, you know, as you are seated, like you are talking to your friend. Because he knows, the Bible says, he's moved by the feelings of our infirmity. You may think you feel the pain, but he feels it more. You may think that, you see the blockade, but he sees it more than you see it. You know, so just tell it to him as you are telling it to your God, to your friend. So, you know, some of the things that God did to the children of Israel, and yet they did not give him glory. They still did not appreciate him. Were the miracles of the wind. We know some of these things very well. The miracles of the wind in Exodus chapter 14, Exodus 14, 21, 22, documents the miracle of the Red Sea, where God caused his wind to part the Red Sea for them. Where God, as it has never happened before, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. All that night. Some of us, our miracles are going to happen all the night in Jesus' name. We are going to sleep and we are going to wake up and it is gone. Or it is done. It is over. The testimony is complete in the name of Jesus Christ. And made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. The waters were divided. The waters, you know, I don't know if it's the same script, the same passage or another account of the same story. It says, the water parted hither and thither. That is, one went this way, the other went that way. Let's see verse 22. I think there's something about, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. Wall. I know we have heard a lot about walls these days. You know, this is not that kind of wall. This is not that, this kind of wall, nobody can jump it. You know, maybe the wall they are promising, maybe people will still find a way of, you know how people, we used to have fence in Nigeria, but armed robbers, we still, they remove some of the blocks around and then they enter. So, but this one, no. This is a wall that the Bible says that wall was there on the left side, on the right side, and they went on dry ground because of the wind that blew from God. Another time, there was wind in the book of Numbers chapter 11, verse 31. Numbers 11, 31. God caused wind. The Bible says the wind blew from God. The wind from God, Numbers 11, 31. And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and left and let them fall by the camp, you know, and so on like that. Another time, God caused his wind to blow and brought quails, brought manna, brought food for them. I don't know if we are here, we are hungry. Hunger can be physical, hunger can be spiritual, hunger can be material, hunger can be in any form. Some of us are hungry for love, hunger for anything. You know your hunger. Hunger for companionship. But God caused wind to blow and brought quails to meet their hunger need. I'm praying this morning that the wind of God will blow and blow whatever you need to quench your hunger in Jesus' name. Whether it is spiritual, whether it is physical, it is material, whatever form of emotional hunger. Some have emotional hunger. You know it. You know it. Sometimes you can't describe it, but there is an emotional hunger. Whatever hunger it is this morning, that same wind that blew quails, manna. The Bible says it was like a walk, the walk of one, of a day's journey here and there. That was how much manna God brought to them. It was like, you know, like 3 feet tall. It was one walk, on a day walk on the left, on the right, like that. That was how much. So God fed them to the full. God fed them to the full. They ate so much that it was coming out from their nostrils. It was too much for them. And that's how God can embarrass us. Embarrass to tell us that, I am more than who you think. I cannot be compared. I am more than your needs. So the wind of God was there. And so somebody will pray this morning. And say, Father, release your wind. to clear my way to the promised land. Just like the wind cleared their way to their promised land. Say, Father, release your wind and let it clear my way. Let the wind of God clear my way to my promised land. Let the wind of God clear my way to my fruit. Father, cause your wind to blow this morning. Let that wind clear the path of everyone that is here to their destination, to their promised land. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to call upon the wind of God. The Bible says that wind brought quills. Wind came forth from the Lord. I want you to call that wind. The Bible says calling for those things that be not as if though they were. Call the wind of God and say, wind of God, bring my manna to me. Bring my quills to me. Walk my calabaros. Wind of God, we ask you to blow this morning and bring everyone's manna to them in the name of Jesus Christ. Let it blow this morning. Let it blow this morning. Let the wind of God blow this morning. Bring everyone's manna. Bring everyone's need. Let it bring everyone's testimony. Let the wind from God bring everyone's testimony. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Brethren, sometimes our food, I pray that God will not put our food in the hands of the enemy. I pray that God will not put our food in hard to reach places. You know, sometimes ago I was walking in a place where, I mean, it was the road was so rough. It was like, not in this country, it was back in Nigeria. It was like, I think it was 3 hours drive to and fro. And not only that, almost every day, there will be an armed robbery operation on that way. It's either maybe before we got there, they'll say, they just scattered. Or maybe after we left, we passed, they'll say, after you left. But it was like that for maybe like 3 or 5 years, like that. But that was where my food was. That was where I needed to go to put food on the table. It was a hard-to-reach place. It was challenging. Sometimes it's like that. The person who needs to sign our check or sign our paycheck, maybe somebody that every time you want to go and sign the something, you have to do like this. That is a hard-to-reach place. That is a hard-to-reach place. That is a difficult location. But the Bible says in that scripture, please let us have that scripture again. Numbers 11:31. The Bible says that the quails brought and let them fall by the camp. By the camp. It was within their reach. It was within, they did not have to travel again. They just needed to come out of their houses and begin to gather food. Begin to gather food. It was just by the camp where they were. I want you to talk to the Almighty God and say, Father, don't let my food be in the hand of my enemy. Don't let my favor, don't let my benefit be in the hand of my enemy. Don't let it be in a hard to reach place. Don't let it be in a place where I cannot reach. Don't let it be where my hand cannot reach. Don't let my benefit be where my hand will not be able to reach. Father, we are praying this morning that our food will not be in the hands of our enemies. That our womb, Rakasa. Father, don't let our benefits be in the hands of the enemy. Don't let it be in a hard to reach place. In the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Some other things that God did for them, and yet they did not give him glory, were the miracles, the wonders of waters coming from the rock. In the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verses 2 to 7. That is where God, you know, the children of Israel, they were thirsty. They were thirsty. And they complained again. It was all complaint. They were always complaining. They were complainers in chief. They were always complaining. But God was always answering them because he was long-suffering. The Bible says, he's long-suffering to us, world, not willing that any should perish. And that's how God has suffered so long for us. Waiting for us, maybe we will appreciate him. Maybe we will thank him. Maybe we will see the cup as half full rather than see it as half empty. Maybe we will give God the glory for what God has done already. Maybe at least we will thank him and glorify him for who he is. That place, the Bible says, God told Moses, go and smite the rock. And the water came from the rock for them. Even though it was a hard to reach place, the water came, but it came easy. Just a strike of the rod, and it came out. Also in Numbers 20, I'm not going to read because of time. In Numbers chapter 20, verses 2 to 10, they complained again they were thirsty. They were always having needs. And that's typical. That's normal. That's normal. We are here this morning. We have needs. We have needs. But we thank God that we serve a God that will always meet our needs. Because it's more than there. So God told Moses, go and speak. Go and speak to the rock. And, you know, we all know the story that rather than speak, you know, he did something, he struck it because he thought, oh, the way God moved the last time. And that is another lesson we need to learn. God, the first time, said, go and strike the rock. And the water came out, and they drank. The second time, God said, go and speak to the rock. And he went there, and he thought it was the same way God did it the last time. So maybe you are expecting it to happen the same way. It's not always like that. It's not always like that. Maybe that's why we are limiting God from moving. We think because, oh, this was how it happened for this person, or it happened for that person, or it happened for me the last time. Maybe the same way is how it will happen. Maybe the same way, maybe the same place, maybe the same, you know, the same location. Maybe the same address, maybe the same job. Maybe the same way it happened to somebody. Maybe the same way it happened to me the last time. But God was teaching them something. And because the first time he said, smite it. The second time he said, speak to him. And he went and did it the same way. Of course, God honored his word. He gave them water, but Moses was punished because of that. And so the lesson we need to learn also is that God works in mysterious ways. And let's keep an open mind. Keep an open mind. Wherever our benefits are, even if it's in the rock, even if it's in the rock, the God that brought water out of the rock is going to bring it out for us in Jesus' name. Amen. The other thing God did was recorded in the book of Exodus 15, where he turned the water of Marah to sweet water for them. The Bible says they were thirsty again, always thirsty, but it was in the wilderness, so it was normal. So they were always thirsty, and God was always giving them water to drink. But this time they got there, and it was bitter. And so sometimes we have embarked upon a journey, upon a project, and we think we have hit the jackpot. We think we have hit the breakthrough, and we get there. It doesn't look so again. It doesn't look so again. In fact, it looks like it's bitter. We thought, we are there already, but it's not there. It appeared as if we were there, but it turned out not to be there. And that was what happened to them. They got to the water and it was bitter. And they called it Marah. But God turned it to sweet water for them. God turned it to sweet water for them. I don't know if you are here this morning and you are in that situation. You are in a situation where it appears as if there's so much bitterness. There's so much bitter water. Everything looks bitter. You put it in the mouth, it appears bitter. You touch it, it doesn't feel good. Maybe your situation is like that this morning. Maybe that's why you don't see a reason to appreciate God. But God has turned it to sweet water for them before. And that same God is going to turn it around. The Bible says in Psalms 126 verse 1, when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Somebody's testimony will be like them that dream. In the name of Jesus Christ. I remember a testimony. You know, I was watching a program this week, and a couple, a pastor of Redeemed Christian Church of God and the wife, they came to testify to the goodness of God. I mean, that testimony was like them that dream. A 54-year-old man, pastor of Redeemed Church, and a 53-year-old, the wife. They had been married, and they had been, you know, waiting on the Almighty God, I think for 12 years or thereabout. And I think for so many years, I mean, the wife was not even seeing her menses again. And so, but they kept trusting the Almighty God. And, you know, within the space of 2.5 years, God gave them 4 children. So much that the man had to pray The man had to pray to God that, if that fall is even now affecting the ministry, that fall is getting too much, that God should stop this thing. It's getting too much. You see, it was like them that dream. They had waited for long. 54-year-old, 53-year-old, somebody will receive an embarrassment of testimony in Jesus' name. That it will look as if God combined it together. I mean, come to think of it. Four children within a space of 2.5 years. So it means that, you know, by the time one was on the ground, the other one was getting inside. That was the way it was. No space, no stopping. Because God was anxious to answer them. Because they had waited on him, they had trusted him. God is going to be in a hurry to answer somebody here today. In the name of Jesus Christ. And so it is when God turns our captivity, it will be like a dream. It will be like a dream. Before the end of this month, somebody's testimony will be like a dream. I had an experience when I went to the embassy in Nigeria. I went to the embassy. I did not even know what it means, how the protocol was. I didn't know whether they will collect your passport when they give you. That was my first and the only time. And so I was there. It was just like joke. I went in and then I carried so many books because I was coming to read there. And somebody, you be student? Because I thought I was going to talk there when, you know, I was going to show them this book and that book and this. And I got there and it was easy. And then after that, I was going out. I didn't know what happened. I didn't know whether they gave me visa because I didn't understand the protocol. I just knew that I didn't have my passport with me. This woman did not give me passport. She did not return my passport. I was on the way out. I met the security man. I said, she collected my passport from me. And the man said, she took your passport. Did she give you one slip? I said, I didn't know whether she gave me a slip. Because I was just confused. I thought the only thing I thought was maybe she already seized my passport. Because I thought maybe that's how they seize people's passports. Then maybe she's, what did I now do now? That she did not give me my passport. So the man said, did she give you any sleep? I said, I'm not sure whether she gave me any sleep. Because I had a heap of books and they said, carry pictures. All wedding pictures, all this and that. So I carried albums and all that so that I would tell them I was married, I had, you know, children and all that. But they didn't check all those. And then those things became nuisance. And that's how it is. Sometimes we think there's a way God is going to work. But I pray that even as we approach the end of the year, God will give us a founding testimony. And then I was searching through the pages and I saw the slip. And I said, there is this slip. The man said, she don't give you visa now. She don't give you visa. So, and that was how it was. It was like a dream to me. It was like a dream. And the Bible says, when God turns the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. I want you to call upon the Almighty God and say, Father, turn my captivity. Let it be like a dream. Let it be like a dream. Turn my captivity. Father, restore. Another scripture says, restore. Restore my fortune. That's how NIV puts it. Say, Father, restore my fortunes. I don't know the fortune that I've left you. Father, restore my fortune. Turn my captivity, O God. Father, turn my captivity. Restore my fortune. I want you to pray for Wisdom Assembly. Turn the captivity of Wisdom Assembly. Restore the fortune. Every year that the locusts and the cankerworm have eaten, Father, restore back to us. Restore to every destiny that is here. Every home, restore. Restore dignity. Some of us feel we have lost our status. We have lost our dignity. When again will I be relevant? Father, restore my relevance. Restore my importance. Maybe you feel you are no longer important. You are no longer relevant. You no longer belong. Say, Father, restore my relevance. Restore my importance. Restore my fortune, O God. Restore my status. Rema rabato. Restore my dignity. Restore love, 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 love. Zema rabazabara.
Father, whether there are homes that are here that don't riyamaraba raba zapori, let rubarabara relationships that are here this morning that are suffering for love, let love be restored. Let rimarabo, eh, kanama namana, let it be like a dream. Eh, mazubraba raba braba zo. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Brethren, because of our time, I need to just touch the remaining, just a few things, and leave some of them out. The Bible says in the book of Joshua chapter 21, maybe we can read those. Joshua 21 verses 20, 44 and 45. One of the things Jesus did for the, I mean God did for the children of Israel was to deliver them from all their enemies. All their enemies. Verse 44, and the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that they swear unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them, not a man of all their enemies. And the Lord delivered all their enemies into their hands. I want you to pray to the Almighty God and say, Father, before the end of this month, deliver all my enemies into my hand. Let none of them be standing. Let none of them be standing. Before the end of this month, Father, deliver them into my hands. Let none of them be standing. Let none of them be standing. Deliver them to my hands. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. The Bible says, and God gave them rest round about. Brethren, there's nothing like rest. There's nothing like rest. It's just like when, you know, the CEOs are seated and drinking coffee, and then the junior ones are just laboring and laboring. They are sitting there and just drinking coffee over the labor of, you know, tons of people. That's how it is. And that's why we need the rest, the absolute rest that comes from God. So that we don't spend all our days, you know, if we spend all our lifetime worrying, fighting, when are we going to enjoy all the things we are fighting for? When are we going to sit down and eat and, you know, just look around and be merry? Rest is sweet. And that's why the Bible says that God gave them rest round about. I want you to call upon the Lord. Father, give me rest round about. Father, I have wrestled, I have fought battles enough. Give me rest round about. Give me rest round about. Give me rest. Give my family rest round about. Give my destiny rest round about. Lord, we pray this morning. Give Wisdom Assembly rest round about. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's read verse 45. Verse 45. There failed not aught any good thing which the Lord God had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. There failed not one thing. All came to pass. I want you to pray. Say, Father, let everything come to pass. Every good thing that my heart desires today, every good thing that my heart desires, let everything come to pass. Let none fail. Every good desire of my heart, of my destiny, of my home, of Wisdom Assembly, Father, let everything come to pass. Let me enter into rest. In Jesus' name we pray. Brethren, sometimes when we are in battle, spiritual battle, it gets to a point that the enemy is even tired. You know, sometimes you beat somebody and they wake up again and fight. Sometimes you beat another person, they run away because they can't stand it again. That's a point of no recovery. I don't know how many of us were, you know, I was awake through the night watching the polls coming in. Do you know it got to a point, even before any of them entered 270, it got to a point that we knew that this is a point of no recovery. So at that time, we went to sleep. We went to sleep because we already knew the winner. That was a point of no return, a point of no recovery. And that's the point that I believe God is going to put our enemies. That's the point that I believe God is going to put the every opposition of our lives. Kimo supri aprama sapa la boste. E kru ya kruna rukakazati.
Nebreko makama saprambo zikreba talabara. Ebribo robadadada. Ogrimogo robaganza. A point of no return. A ruse ereboto. A point of no recovery. Rive rebo ragazazaza. Leo ruga ragada. Weyoma ragada monagora. Yes, the rigada mara. Point of no recovery. Ye masopra. Nimo roboro. In Jesus' name we pray.
Shapala ma shopre gaba. Ima komia ya marandi and lama randali barusteriga. Mrego brigaba jande ze grize crudala ma shate ye cruzaza pragatali ya mashikalori ye kelebere. Bregano, faikuza pia bustilia. Breranko rata, breko sufriga dali, breko zozaka zaka 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 zaga, moruza zazapo, bi kalamara, bi bozuprigani kara, brother ruza hanzaka. Thank you, Lord. Breaking up bushikali, brethren, sometimes the record is a green zahru, ananana. I don't know if you are here this afternoon now. Yimra mara the hero dada you become mara kuno no no zazabuz de gramazante da buruza ganata la sala garabasa so bring in the buruza ganza zufriga zampra muzufriga anda igribashati brethren sometimes there is an evil reinforcement symbol higa not because we have not won but because there is a reinforcement not because we have not come out of it but because we enter it again because of the evil reinforcement. Sometimes ago, we were in a place and ministering deliverance. And as this girl was being delivered, and it was like, oh, she was fully delivered, then she will be reinforced again. Little did we know that there was somebody standing by who was in the same group with the girl, who was there to fortify and to reinforce her. Who was there to make sure that she will not go? That is how evil reinforcement happens. They won't let go. And so this morning, I want you to call upon the Lord Almighty. A point of no recovery. A point where there is no reinforcement, no evil reinforcement again. I want you to call upon the Lord and put your family, your generation. Maybe the Bible says our fathers, they eat the sour grapes. And the children's teeth are set on head. I want you to call upon the Lord on behalf of your generation. Whatever evil reinforcement, call upon your life, upon your destiny. That whatever evil reinforcement that is making this problem to linger, that is making this battle to linger, that is making this sickness to linger, because the mother had it, the daughter is having it. Because the father had it, the son is having it. Nay, Marabo, Father, the point of no return. Lord, Lord Almighty, I want you to call upon the Lord Almighty. Say, Father, show yourself strong and get it done to the point of no recovery. To the point of no return. Fight to finish my battle today. Fight to finish my battle today. Heal me completely today. Heal me to the point of no return. Visit me today. Visit my situation today. Settle me today to the point of no return. A point of no recovery. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Brethren, one last thing because of our time was the wonder that God did for them when he asked Moses to raise up his hands. Exodus 17 from verse 9. Exodus 17 from verse 9. That Moses should raise up his hands, and Joshua went to battle. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with the Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Verse 10, please. Verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. 11. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and so on like that. Brethren, that was another wonder that God did for them. God, by the raising of the hands, he showed himself strong, and they defeated the Amalek. Bible says that they were defeated. Joshua defeated them because God asked Moses to raise up his hands. This morning or this afternoon, I want you to pray to the Almighty God. Father, raise up my hand. Father, raise up my hand. Maybe you are raising it up and it is heavy. Ask God to send you help. Say, Father, raise up. Let my hand be raised up. Forever raised up. Father, raise my hand up. Father, raise the hand of my family up. Raise the hand of my generation up. Raise the hand of Wisdom Assembly up. Father, raise my hand up. Raise my hand. Raise my hand. Raise my hand, oh God. Ask the Lord to send you help. And say, Father, my hands are heavy. Send help to me to raise my hand. Lord, we pray today that you will raise our hands, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Brethren, but of all this that God did for the children of Israel, and going back to where we started from in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, the Bible says that many of them died in the wilderness because they complained, they murmured. These were not, there were still many more. I believe we know them. They still were not, they were not surprised at the wonders of God. They were not grateful for the wonders of God. And I don't know whether you are here today. Maybe you are not grateful for the wonders of God. You have also prayed today, and I believe the wonders of God will begin to unfold in our lives in Jesus' name. I want to encourage you today to find a reason to thank God. I want to encourage you to have an heart of gratitude to the Almighty God. I know this month is always dedicated to Thanksgiving, you know, in America and so many places. But we need to have a heart of gratitude always. I want you to rise up on your feet this afternoon and just find a reason to thank God. I want you to just thank God for who he is. Thank the Almighty God for his wonders. Thank the Almighty God for his wondrous work. Just thank God because he has answered your prayers today. The prayers we have prayed to him today, God has answered. I want you to bless his name. Appreciate the Almighty God for his wonders. Father, we thank you for your wonders. Father, we thank you for your wonders. Father, we thank you for your wonders. Father, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we worship you, we bless your name. Lord, receive all the glory for our lives, oh God, for our destinies, for our situations, oh God. We give you all the glory. Father, for our families, we give you glory. Father, for our glory, for our families, we give you glory. For every prayer we have prayed here today.